Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thank you for hanging out on the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, radio.com, coming to you from the great city of Chicago, where I do afternoons on 670 The Score. You can follow me at Danny Parkins on Twitter. I am coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I want to talk about something now that most talk show hosts won't do, and that is admit to you that they don't have all the answers. I try to be honest about this sort of thing. If I feel like I know everything about a topic, I'll present it that way. If I want to have a two-way conversation, I'll present it that way. If I'm recognizing a problem and not necessarily offering a solution, I'll present it that way. And that's the case here. Because the NBA's got a problem, and I don't know if there's a solution. But I want to talk to you guys and see if we can figure one out at 855-212-4CBS. And I want to tell you also where I'm coming from on this. I think that it's important, again, for people in the media to admit their biases. I am pro-player the majority of the time. People say, how can I relate to the millionaire who gets to play a kid's game for his job? I don't know. It's easier than relating to the billionaire. It's pretty simple. Most of us are workers. Most of us are not employers. I'll root for the worker over the employer. When I go to see a Bulls game, I'm going to watch the players, not cheer for the Reinsdorf family. Though recently they haven't had many players to cheer for, but you understand my point. Generally speaking, in issues of labor in sports, I come out as pro player. A lot of people come out as pro owner because they care more about the team than any individual player. Not how I look at it. But having said that, those disclaimers out of the way, the NBA's got a problem. And it's not the quality of play, it's not the number of stars, but it's a competitive balance problem. Because LeBron James has figured out that he's the most powerful person in the sport. And that's a good thing, because he deserves to be the most powerful person in the sport. And if there was no max contract, LeBron James would be worth $100 million a year plus to any franchise in the NBA. But because there are max contracts, you can have an NBA where Mike Conley makes more money than LeBron James because of when he signs, which was the case for a couple of years. And so now, you know, LeBron is signing all those one-year deals, and then he signs the four-year deal with LA because it's going to be the last stop of his career. But Kevin Durant this year can opt out in Golden State, and he can go sign with the Knicks, and he can sign a one-year deal there, or he can sign a one-year deal back in Golden State, and he can add a player option to it because everyone's willing to offer these players whatever they want to go get them to play there, because if you don't have a top five player in the league on your team or three of the top 15 players on your team, you got no shot at winning a title. And it's been that way throughout the history of the NBA. So it's not a problem with you got to have the best player in order to win a title. The problem now is that since the best players have recognized their power and their leverage because of LeBron and the one-year contracts with the one-year options, they want to play with their friends and they want to team up, which is not inherently a problem. I don't have an issue with Kevin Durant choosing Golden State. The cap spiked in a historic way. They were a great team. He was told by all of us in the media, you'll never be considered an all-time great if you don't have titles. So he went to a place that was going to be the easiest for him to get titles. And now we're saying that those titles aren't as impressive as other people's titles. So we're moving the goalposts on these guys. But that whole preamble is to set up this Anthony Davis situation. And I think this is where the NFL is going to have an actual problem that could lead to some action in the next week. Like, I think we got a borderline NBA crisis on our hands that's about to unfold. And here's what I mean. Anthony Davis is injury prone, and Anthony Davis got hurt before the All-Star game, but it wasn't serious. He played 5 minutes in the All-Star game tonight. The Pelicans have now been alerted that Anthony Davis, in a year and a half, does not intend to re-sign there. The trade deadline is passed for this season. They chose to wait until the offseason if they're going to trade him at all, which they still haven't said that they're going to. The NBA says they've got to play Anthony Davis, or else they're going to fine the team six figures every game. The Pelicans want to get as much back for Anthony Davis as possible in a trade, so they need Anthony Davis to be healthy, because the only thing that'll hurt Anthony Davis's trade value is if Anthony Davis is hurt. Also, the Pelicans now want to lose, given that they're not going to make the playoffs this year and they're not trying to impress Anthony Davis anymore in order to stay. So the Pelicans, their best interest two ways, both in draft lottery positioning and preserving Anthony Davis's trade value, is to sit him. But the league says you owe it to your fans, national television partners, and competitive balance to play him if he's healthy. But Anthony Davis doesn't want to just be traded anywhere. He wants to be traded to the Lakers, but the Pelicans want to trade him to the best possible suitor. But the best possible suitor might not trade for Anthony Davis unless they can get a guarantee that they can sign him, and it just gets messy. So the immediate problem is, do the Pelicans play Anthony Davis? Will the league make them play Anthony Davis? Should they make them play Anthony Davis? Because Anthony Davis is under contract. He's got a year and a half left on his deal. He's healthy. He should play. But that is at such a huge disadvantage to the Pelicans. So they're getting screwed every direction. They want Anthony Davis to sign long term. He doesn't want to sign here. So if he doesn't want to sign here, they want to trade him. But they don't want to trade him at the trade deadline in season. They want to trade him in the offseason when Boston can get involved in the negotiations. But Anthony Davis doesn't want to go to Boston. And so now if they have to play him, they risk his injury and they hurt their draft position. So the Pelicans are just screwed. But what's happened here is Anthony Davis is doing what he thinks or could spin is the admirable thing. Hey, I'm telling you ahead of time. I'm leaving. So you're not going to lose me for nothing in free agency in a year and a half. Trade me and trade me now so that you get something. So if you trade me to L.A., you get their draft picks, and you get Brandon Ingram, and you get Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball or whatever you want from the Lakers, or a three-team trade. Or if you trade me to Boston, you get Jason Tatum and the Grizzlies pick or whatever the case may be. Anthony Davis could tell it to himself, like, I'm doing New Orleans a solid. And I don't believe that Anthony Davis necessarily owes New Orleans anything. I mean, he was there for 7 years. He signed a contract extension. They never got out of the first round. Anthony Davis is an all-NBA player. His agent's LeBron's agent. He's LeBron's lifelong friend. Who wouldn't want to play in L.A.? I get it. You earn the right to free agency, so you can go to L.A. in a year and a half, or you could try to force your way there before. But by forcing your way there before, your likability is going to take a hit. Because we've seen that, right? We saw it with LeBron's first decision. He did a TV show and raised $3 million for a Boys and Girls Club. Hated him for it. Chris Paul, there is trade vetoed early on. Carmelo leaving Denver to the Knicks. Huge controversy. They ended up trading him for 60 cents on the dollar. Shaq leaving Orlando. Kobe and Shaq breaking up in L.A. Is the only way to do this be Kevin Garnett and play 12 years in Minnesota, never play on a good team for the most part, and play all of your 20s on a loser? Is that the only way to be likable in the era of players changing teams? Dirk Nowitzki, who we talked about a little over an hour ago, he set an NBA record for most seasons with one team, 21 seasons with the Mavs. That's not a reasonable expectation of our star players. Not in the era of player empowerment, not in the era of free agency, not in a post-decision LeBron Big Three NBA. So what do you do if you're a star player drafted to a team that doesn't build enough around you, and it's not where you want to be. You got drafted there. You had to sign your first contract because they can offer it to you sooner than anyone else, so that gives you the generational wealth guaranteed, locks you, your family, your children, everybody up. So that's why everybody signs that first contract with the team they drafted him. Melo signed it with Denver. Wade signed it with Miami. He stayed. LeBron signed it with Cleveland. Giannis signed it with Milwaukee. And Anthony Davis signed it with the Pelicans. So he gave him most of two contracts. And now he wants out. But he comes out looking like an a-hole because he doesn't want to just go anywhere. He wants to only go to L.A. He does it publicly. But if you do it privately and say you want to trade, like Porzingis did with the Knicks will trade you anyway, and then they'll try to spin the narrative. We didn't want to pay him. He was coming back off the knee injury. We're opening up the max slots. The NBA doesn't keep secrets. These guys are all friends. They all hang out at All-Star weekends. They all live in L.A. in the offseason. They all share agents. These things leak. Why do you think Woj bombs are a thing? Dude's got sources and everybody talks. Bill Simmons was tweeting about LeBron in L.A. Anthony Davis in L.A. a year ago. As soon as he switched to Rich Paul, LeBron's friend and agent, everyone's like, oh, okay, AD wants to be a Laker. LeBron wants AD to be a Laker. AD will be a Laker. The question is it going to happen in free agency or by way of a trade? Let's see. And again, I have no problem whatsoever with player movement. I do have a problem with the NBA's likability taking a hit and these star players taking a hit. So what can we do? Say you're Anthony Davis. Is the only way to do this to say to the Pelicans privately, all right, hey, listen, you guys got me under contract through the 2020 season. I'm a free agent in 2021. I will not be re-signing here. I will not be taking the Supermax. Trade me. I want to go to L.A. If you can't trade me to L.A., I want to go to a winner. I don't want it to be public. So he tells the team that. And then if the team trades the player, the fan base is furious at the team. And then they have to come out on the back end anyway and say, he didn't want to be here. He told us he wasn't going to sign long term. So it's going to come out anyway. So my question is there any way to do this without your likability taking a bit of a hit? Because Anthony Davis's likability has taken a bit of a hit here. Because it doesn't want to be just any winner. It's got to be L.A. He does it publicly. Now he might have to sit out. And I'm just genuinely curious. What do we do about this? Because it seems to me that the competitive balance situation in the NBA is not getting fixed anytime soon, which it's been that way for most of NBA history. People don't like to admit it, but the NBA is a league of dynasties. So even if the dynasties were built in different ways in the past, it's always been a league that's top-heavy with dynasties, and only a few teams before the year have a realistic shot at a title. So that, to me, isn't the problem. The problem is a lot of the star players, when they're exercising their power, because fans are pro-owner instead of pro-player, your most marketable, likable stars that have had no blemishes on their resume, like Anthony Davis, now take a huge hit in likability. And I'm not sure that's good for the league. Now, listen, maybe it is. Maybe it makes Anthony Davis more polarizing. And he'll be loved in L.A., and he'll be hated in Boston, and he'll be hated in New Orleans, and conflict and controversy sells. But I think you want to have guys that are likable, and I think Anthony Davis comes across as less likable because of how he executed it. But then I put myself in his shoes, and I'm like, I don't know that I would do anything differently. I don't know what the solution to this problem is, because it certainly isn't going away. And I don't hate players teaming up and making great teams, because then when they meet in the Western Conference or Eastern Conference Finals, we get great basketball. Like the Eastern Conference Final or playoffs this year, Boston, Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee. I have no idea who's going to win. It's going to be great. Now, they'll lose to the Warriors in the finals, but who knows? Last year, the Warriors had Game 7 on the road in Houston, and if Houston didn't have the worst three-point shooting performance in the history of the playoffs, and if Chris Paul hadn't gotten hurt, maybe the Rockets would have beaten them. So, who knows who's going to actually win? But this seems like a problem without a solution to me in terms of the likability of the best players in the league. Unless you know something I'm missing. 855-212-4CBS, 815-212-4CBS. Is there a way for the best players in the league to exercise their power, change teams, and maintain their likability? That's where we're going, because Anthony Davis has the Pelicans between a rock and a hard place. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
It is the Danny Parkin Show, and I appreciate you hanging out. Tell a friend about it. Have them follow me on Twitter at Danny Parkins. Share the podcast, which will be available after the show. Subscribe to it, rate it, review it. I'd very much appreciate it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. So, I love the NBA. I love player empowerment. I side with players over owners in probably 95% plus of player ownership disputes. My issue is, I think the NBA's got a problem with Anthony Davis and this Pelicans situation because it's a unique one. The Pelicans would be better served for their draft position by sitting Anthony Davis. They'd be better served for Anthony Davis's trade value by sitting Anthony Davis, but the NBA doesn't allow tanking, and Anthony Davis is under contract, so they see it as a responsibility to their paying customers, their season ticket holders, their national television partners, for Anthony Davis to play. And Anthony Davis wants to be traded, but he doesn't want to be traded anywhere. He wants to be traded to the Lakers, and so that'll affect his trade value. And you can't do this privately because there are no secrets in the NBA. And then as soon as you do it publicly, your likability takes a hit. We've got so many examples of star players moving, it almost never goes smoothly. And the league continues to grow and survive and thrive, and the players are fine in the end. So I understand that this isn't the biggest problem in the world, but I think in the next week or so, there's going to have to be some sort of decision about what the Pelicans are going to do in the short term. They got 23 games left. They can't risk Anthony Davis getting hurt. It might be worth the fines, but then it's a huge story of competitive imbalance. And so what do you do? What do you do to preserve likability of a player who wants to maneuver his way to his preferred destination, which they have the right to in free agency anyway? And just what do you do about the overall likability of these guys teaming up and changing places, which for the most part I have no problem with, but they're also more than likely not going to team up in Milwaukee. Like, I don't see a bunch of free agents running to join Giannis, but the Bucks have convinced Giannis that it's a good place to stay. They got the best record in the league, and they might have a decision with Middleton this offseason of, are they going to pay a luxury tax to keep everybody together? It'll be fascinating. So there's only some places that this will work, and it's just the NBA is in a weird spot. It's always been a top-heavy league. It's always been a dynasty-dominated league. But now with all these players moving, guys are taking hits to their likability. Hasn't hurt the business's bottom line yet. I wonder if it will. 855-212-4CBS. This is a problem, I think, for the league, but it's a problem without a solution. In Florida, Jeff has an idea. Jeff, you're on the Danny Parkin Show. Thanks for calling.
I think what needs to happen, now the players would hate this and would try to say no way in hell. LeBron James can make, okay, 40 mil like he is. But if Anthony Davis wants to go, you can make 15 mil and under. And what would happen is, I know it sounds crazy, it's that the best players would all go to one per team. And it means players like Chris Middleton, yeah, we can the office seat wouldn't be more than 50 mil. So
all right, yeah, listen, Yeah, I see what you're saying, Jeff. So you're saying one max contract slot per team. The problem is then guys would take a million less to team up together. And, you know, LeBron would say, hey, all right, take a million less to play on my team, and I'll cut you in on Space Jam 2. Or you could team up with Rich Paul, and instead of taking his 5% agent commission fee, he'll take 2%. Or, hey, I'm investing in Blaze Pizza. I'll get you in at the same price that I got in for a smaller percentage. These guys make so much money now, they can make it up in different ways. Now, if you really wanted to mess with the ecosystem, you could say no max contracts, no salary cap. Now, the owners will never go for this, but if LeBron James could earn his fair market value, now we're getting somewhere. Because a team could just say, hey, LeBron, come play in Sacramento. Here's $200 million for a season to put us on the map. Now, that would be interesting. But the owners love a salary cap because it suppresses wages. Now, it leads to a weird situation. It leads to Jabari Parker getting $20 million and LeBron getting $35 million, and LeBron clearly being more than twice as good of a player as Jabari. But the current situation in the NBA is awesome for the like 25th through 100th best players in the league. It's not great for the top 24 guys in the league. Not that anyone's crying over what they make, but if it was actually a free market, they are actually underpaid. I know that drives people insane when I say that, but LeBron James is drastically underpaid if he was truly in an open market. Let's go to Texas and welcome Dre to CBS Sports Radio. Dre, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, man? I listen to what you were saying. I agree with you, but I'm like this. I'm just an old school competitor. You know, I played basketball. I was a competitor. I wish they'd quit jumping ship and teaming up because, to me, it's hurting the league to me. And, like, I say this, I'm going to say this. I wish people would quit calling Boston a super team. Because when KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce got together, man, KG was 32 years old. Ray Allen was not the Ray Allen he was in Milwaukee. That was not a super team. Miami, on the other hand, you got LeBron, Bosh, and Wade all in their early 20s. And they
right.
prime team.
Yeah, but like, these teams throughout NBA history have always had great players, right? I mean, Magic played with James Worthy, played with Kareem. Bird played with Parrish and McHale. Jordan played with Pippen and Rodman. Like, it's not like stars being on the same team is some sort of new phenomenon.
But now I'm saying the way they're getting there, because, see, they actually drafted well. And, you know, they got a few free agency, but these players here, you got great superstars jumping ship. Because, you know, my thing is, I understand championships mean something. But, man, to me, like Kevin Durant, he jumped ship, went to Golden State, and people don't even respect his titles because he was weak what he did.
Yeah, see, and I feel you, Dre, I do, and I appreciate the call. Here's the thing. If you are the top computer engineer, you go to Purdue Engineering School, and you got to go out to Silicon Valley, and you can work for Google, Apple, Facebook, wherever. You get to choose where you want to go. And if Google makes you a better offer and you're working at Apple, you can jump ship. And no one has any problem with it. In pro sports, these guys get drafted to a team. They have to go there. And then they can get traded anywhere at any time. So when they earn their collectively bargained right to free agency, if they want to go to LA or go to Miami for the less taxes in Florida, or go to Texas for less taxes, or they want to team up with their buddies, or they want to stay with the team that drafted them, or they want to go play in their hometown, or they want to get out of their hometown, or they want to play with their AAU teammate, or they want to play with where they went to college, or they want to play in Madison Square Garden, or whatever. Like, it's their right. everyone's got different motivations. Everyone got different reasons. You don't have to like it, but free agency is free for a reason. They have free will, free choice. They can choose where they want to go. Now, I get it. People think that what KD did was a sucker move, but we created the environment that said he needed a ring. And then we moved the goalposts on him. And that's probably why KD's going to leave this offseason. Because we'll be like, okay, you don't like my Warriors championships, now I'll go try to build my own thing in New York. Keep moving around. All of a sudden, he'll be likable again for going and playing on a worse team. Like, there's some nobility in being worse. It's a weird ecosystem that we've created. Keep talking about the dynamics of players, owners, and if there's a way to solve this likability issue for so many people.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thank you for hanging out. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, radio.com. You can follow me and interact on Twitter, at Danny Parkins. I'm going to get out of here in a little less than 20 minutes, but wanted to talk through something with you because knowledge is power, right? But knowledge can make it a little complicated to be a sports fan in 2019. And I'll tell you what I mean. For a long time, as we've learned more and more about the celebrities that we care about, there have been dilemmas of separating art from artist. Right? Any Michael Jackson fan can tell you about that. Any James Brown fan can tell you about that. Right now, and for a long time, R. Kelly fans, though, I mean, R. Kelly, if you're still a fan there, my God, Google him. But it's interesting because I'll tell you the situation we got in Chicago, right? So I do afternoons here in Chicago, 1 to 6. We're on the home of the Cubs. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. Got a complicated thing right now. The Cubs have had a rough stretch in news cycles. They had their spring training opening press conference with their president, Theo Epstein, their manager, Joe Maddon, and their general manager, Jed Hoyer. And the dominating topics were racism, Islamophobia, and domestic violence. Because, and I'm not saying all of these things are the same, and they're not, and I'm not saying that all of the things that have happened to the Cubs should be some sort of line where you should stop your fandom, because I certainly won't, and I'm not. But just to give you a little background, if you don't know what's going on with the Cubs right now, Addison Russell is 11 games into a 40-game domestic violence suspension. Joe Ricketts, who is the patriarch of the Ricketts family who own the Cubs, he's not on their board of directors, but he put up the $400 million-plus to buy the team. The Cubs donate more money politically than any team in baseball. His children are hyper-political. Laura Ricketts is a lesbian, and she's one of, if not the only, outwardly gay owners in American pro team sports. But her siblings and her father are very conservative. Tom Ricketts, who's the principal face of the team owner, tries to play it like Switzerland, but he's conservative, and there's no problem with leaning left or right, and you can be an owner and you can donate, but the Cubs ownership brass takes it to another level. One of the guys on the board of directors is the campaign finance chair for President Trump. The other is the Republican governor of Nebraska. They make more political donations than any team in baseball, and none of that would be a problem if Joe Ricketts' emails hadn't been leaked and they exposed horrifying outward racism and Islamophobia. The type of stuff that your grandparents maybe send you, like // Obama's a Muslim, like that type of stuff. It's the owner of the Cubs. It's not a great look. Now, they'll say that he's just the money and that he's not an owner and he's not on the board of directors. But when your kids are that involved in politics, it gets complicated. And then to make matters even more complicated, they just announced Cubs TV and they partnered with Sinclair for their distribution, which is seen as a far right propaganda propagating media disseminator. And you maybe don't care at all about the Cubs, but I tell you all of that to say it gets a little complicated when you've got a player with domestic violence and you've got a media outlet that feels like state-run TV and you've got an ownership group with racist Islamophobic emails. And last year they brought in Daniel Murphy, who has thoughts on homosexuality from like 50 years ago. And that led to a pushback from the gay community, and the Muslim community in Chicago has issued statements. And suffice it to say, it's been a complicated act, balancing act for the morally conscious Cubs fan recently. But the Cubs will still draw a couple million fans next year, and they'll still print money, and I'm not going to stop being a fan, and I don't think the vast majority of people will stop being a fan. But I was thinking about other teams and just about how it seemed like it used to be simpler because we just didn't know as much. And whether that's social media or the amount of journalism or whatever it is, but like we were talking about the NBA earlier, right? So if you were if you're a Knicks fan, you got to put up with James Dolan and his sexual harassment settlements and the workplace culture and the Isaiah Thomas thing. And it's an ugly situation. If you're a Clippers fan, you had to deal with Donald Sterling and his housing discrimination settlements and the tapes of him being an outwardly racist owner and being forced to sell the team. And if you're a Mavericks fan, you got to deal with the talk about workplace discrimination and sexual harassment and Mark Cuban being a hands-on owner and somehow claiming that he knew nothing about the toxic work environment that had been created in the Mavericks offices. And it's just some NBA teams, right, that have been in the news in the last 5 years for some stuff that's like, ugh, makes you a little squirmish. In baseball, you had the Brewers and Josh Hader and his racist, homophobic tweets, and then when he makes his comeback in his first game after the tweet surface, he gets a standing ovation. And the Yankees signed Aroldis Chapman after the Cubs had traded for Aroldis Chapman, and the Mets with Jose Reyes, and on and on and on and on, and the Cubs with the issues that I just said earlier. The NFL is like literally every team in the NFL has employed someone who was a bad dude on some level, someone who hit a woman. I mean, off the top of my head, what I got: Chiefs, Bears, Giants, Jets, Broncos, Niners, Cowboys, Bengals, Ravens. Again, I'm sure if I took the time, I could come up with more. The Texans owner with Bob McNair with his racist comments, and Jerry Richardson with his scandal and selling the team and that statue out front. It's like, man, given what we know and the knowledge base, right, and 2019 and social media and we know more now than we've ever known before. We have access to more information now than we ever had before. Some of it good, some of it bad, and a lot of it conflicted. Like, who's the pure team? Who's the team where it's just like, man, it's easy to root for every player and every owner and every general manager and every coach? And now that probably doesn't exist. And again, there are different lines for different people, and I'm not judging you if none of this matters to you at all. Honestly, I'm not. Because I don't believe that if you root for a team that employs someone who committed domestic violence, that you therefore condone domestic violence. Like, I don't believe that. You root for a team and you understand that they try to win and it's not a fair world and talent trumps most things, and if you go through a judicial system and you have rehabilitation and you're eligible to play, someone's going to give you a job, and it may as well be your team. Like, that's what Browns fans are going through with Kareem Hunt right now, right? Like, you're a little conflicted. Dude got into three different physical altercations with people. He seems to be the guy that gets drunk and hits people, kicks people, shoves people. The one against the woman was caught on camera, and it's ugly. But he led the NFL in rushing. He's going to be suspended. His last team cut him for lying about the video. And he's going to be in the NFL somewhere. And it doesn't hurt the bottom line because we've all shown that countless times. Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, all the number ones. So it's like, what are you going to do? And there's this just, so I don't know about you, but I have this feeling of just like, man, it's kind of conflicting. Like, I love the Cubs. I don't love this recent rash of news stories. So I'll criticize them for ABC thing, but overall, what am I going to change baseball teams? Stop going to Wrigley Field in the summer? No. And that's why they have, but I don't look at that as like tacit approval, but sure, yeah, like my money maybe goes to someone ultimately who I disagree with, but like, I don't know. I work for a publicly traded corporation. I don't know what our CEO does with his money, like if he, which way he leans, or if you subscribe to a cable channel, are you putting money in someone's hands that you don't like? If you're buying an article of clothing, if you got an iPhone, if you listen to this type of music, like life is conflict. Life's complicated. I don't agree with the stance that the Chick-fil-A guy has on gay marriage, but he makes a delicious chicken sandwich. What am I supposed to do? But I felt like, you know, sports are supposed to be the escape, but then when you learn more about your players and the sports teams, it's like, it's kind of conflicting. It's just kind of confusing. And I was thinking, is there a pure sport team? Like anybody, like the Warriors seem pretty likable and pretty pure, but I don't know everything about, was it Bob Myers, the owner of the Warriors? I covered the Royals team that won in 2015. Likeable guys, no scandal, Midwest town, starved fan base, dedicated fan base. It was great. Me and the GM didn't really get along, but whatever. That's a personal thing. The owner made his money from Walmart. Walmart put a bunch of businesses in small towns out of business and, you know, ruined the mom and pop game. But for all I know, and other than disagreeing with the line of questioning I once gave him on the radio, seemed like a fine guy. But it's just a weird thing. Like, so it's really hard to find the pure, easy to root for thing, because then we also have to recognize that we don't really know these people. So it's like, oh, maybe there were three guys in that Royals team that were horrible people. They just hadn't been caught. I remember the Tiger Woods story being like, oh my God. The child prodigy who went to Stanford, who's the golfer, was the serial philanderer who had the pain pill problem and like the mixing of toxins and the drunken driving and like all that, all the demons. Yeah, man, it's the human condition. Humans are flawed. Charles Barkley, we are not role models. He was right. Root for sports for the entertainment, to marvel at it. Plenty of people in sports do great things with philanthropy and the community and giving back and their time and can bring great joy to a great many people and cities and the country and the world. But I always just keep that healthy skepticism of, man, I don't exactly know who I'm rooting for. It's a weird thing. Knowledge is power, but it can make things complicated if you're socially conscious. Appreciate everyone who helped out in the show today. Peter Schwartz with the updates. Sam Rubinoff and Dave Ettinger getting us on the air. Ryan Hickey's my executive producer. My name is Danny Parkins. Follow me on Twitter. This is the Danny Parkins Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.